You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
We've had some really strong yet calm voices step to the forefront over the last number of weeks. I would put our governor at the very top of that list and what he is doing statewide. And right behind him, I would put our very own Mayor Julie Moore Wolf, who joins us each day at this time. We've sort of set this benchmark so people can just sort of know when to hear from you, Mayor. How are you holding up personally?
You know, I'm just here primping for my radio interview, doing my hair. So gotta keep the sense of humor, Brian. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
You know, we've got a great team together. So, you know, and each of us go through kind of a little bit of a roller coaster where we, you know, hit those low points, but we've got other people to pull us back up. So we're good.
All right. The Joint Press Communication Update comes out every day. We're, of course, sharing that through nowdecatur.com and all of our personal pages. Let's just go over the obvious. There has so far been 9 tests completed in Macon County, 7 negative and 2 pending. Is that the latest that we know?
That is the latest that I know at this point. We have our meeting, our call, because we don't actually meet at 9:15 today to get the latest update. But one thing I really want to stress, Brian, people I think are, I don't want to call it suspicious, but it's like, well, why hasn't Macon County had one? We have to be very, very selective in who is tested. Okay. So these screenings, respiratory screenings are going on to say, okay, no, you have the flu, et cetera. The very, very sickest patients are going to go to the hospitals and they would likely be tested if they're going to become an inpatient, mainly because our healthcare staff has to know what they're dealing with. And we can't let the healthcare community get sick because they're going to be there to take care of the very sickest. So understand that although we don't have a positive confirmed case, I know there are people who are carriers. And what I'm asking people to do is take this very seriously, because it's easy when, you know, the people who are skeptical saying, well, it must be okay then. Well, it's really not. And if everybody would just treat themselves as if they are a carrier and that anywhere they go, anybody they're around, anybody they touch, they could be infecting that person. And to take that kind of precaution, I think that's the best way we can approach this. We have a lot of people that are still not complying with the governor's orders, and they're doing more than they should. Being out, we had to reach out to some churches Sunday that went ahead with Sunday service in person, and we're reaching out to them saying, folks, this violates the governor's order. We're not arresting the congregation here, but the pastors have to understand they can't do this.
Everybody has to understand, and I'll get to the law enforcement side of this and the city, mm-hmm. and what we can do in a second, but let's go back to why you're still following the Illinois Department of Public Health criteria for who gets tested, correct?
Correct. And we don't the tests are so limited at this point. We have to be really, really specific. So you go through an algorithm of, you know, who is at high risk of possibly be this really being COVID as opposed to the flu. We'll test for the flu. We test for strep. We test for other things. And we have found a lot of diagnoses in these respiratory clinics that both DMH and St. Mary's have set up that, okay, what you have is strep. Here's the antibiotic you need. And so we're taking care of those patients. But we have not had a confirmed case here. You know, the highest risk populations are those that live together. For example, our assisted living, you know, living centers, our nursing homes. You have a large number of people that live in those. So if we get up, you know, somebody there is probably going to get tested if they're sick, because they're at high risk for spreading it, as we saw in Northern Illinois. So, you know, we just have to be extremely careful about this.
Okay. Now to the enforcement side of things, and I hesitate even using that word, because what I feel like is that our law enforcement is asked to just sort of give people a nudge. I saw a story yesterday about a Decatur police officer, you know, like literally pulling up next to somebody, rolling down the window, indicating to them and said, hey, you got a headlight out, and then moving on. You know, no one's out here looking to sort of, this isn't a lockdown yet.
No,
but,
it isn't.
But people have to.
People are out. They've got to get to the grocery store. They've got to get to the, you know, doctor's office, some of those essential things that people have to do. So we don't have, you know, basically where the police set up a roadblock barrier and we arrest everybody. That is not happening, and we are not out looking for people. Now, if police see suspicious activity, they're going to go ask what's going on. So if you have a carload of people and it's 11:30 at night, that's probably not when you're going to be out grocery shopping, okay? And if if they are out, they may need help, and so the officer is there to help.
Yeah, and but crime still happens. Crime still happens. People are taking advantage of this. I got a release from Chief Getz over the weekend about scams that are going on in the area. I mean, as hard as it is to believe that some people would choose to take advantage of other people, particularly aimed at seniors, during the middle of this, I mean, you can't throw them away long enough.
Yeah, I agree. But understand, from the beginning, Chief Getz and Sheriff Brown have been getting direction from their respective, the Association of Police and Sheriffs. I can't recall the names of the, but like the Illinois State Police, they're sending down, here are the guidelines. Here's what you need to be looking at. And, Chief Getz and Sheriff Brown have been very clear from the beginning that they are not out looking to arrest people for being out in their cars.
All right, let's talk about the hospitals. I got a couple of messages over the weekend from some people trying to volunteer to make these sort of cloth masks.
Mm-hmm.
I know that both hospitals are working on being able to accept that. Is that a fair way to put it?
It is. In fact, I've been in communication this morning on my St. Mary's side with Drew Early from DMH, and I talked to Mike Hicks yesterday. What we're trying to coordinate is a joint effort among the hospitals for a community drop-off, because we've got a lot of talented seamstresses at home that want to do something to help. But one thing we don't want is for everybody to be violating the order not to be out, especially if these are older citizens. So we're looking at what we can do for a community drop-off place and some direction on that. I will expect to be coming out later today. We're going to probably, and I have not coordinated this yet, but have a community site where you can drive by, drop off a Ziploc bag full of homemade masks so that we can distance ourselves from, the people who are trying to help and keeping our healthcare workers, safe from, folks that are trying to do the right thing and help. Those masks will then be sanitized. Now, one thing we have to stress, these are not going to keep you from getting COVID. However, a lot of people need masks, visitors who are just more comfortable. But also we've had a lot of companies responding that have N95 masks that they have for construction purposes or what have you. Dunn Company was one of the first to step up. David Tyrolt dropped off, I think, 100 masks at both hospitals to really help our healthcare professionals. So we're working to coordinate the stockpile that we have available in the community. For those types of things, you probably need to call the hospitals to arrange a regular drop-off or meet-up where we can pick them up. But, in all of this, we want to keep our contractors safe from, sure, being around the virus as well.
Absolutely. Final thing, volunteers. I know that the Good Samaritan Inn was mentioned during the governor's briefing yesterday. I should say the Northeast Community Fund, but there are still people out there that if you are able and if you are not showing signs and they're practicing social distancing and doing all the responsible things, we still do need some bodies in places.
Absolutely. Because we depend on our senior population to be out there doing the things like Meals on Wheels and serving food at Good Sam and working at Northeast Community Fund. Debbie Bogle for the United Way, if you go to her website, you can, and we're probably, I'm sure you have a link on Now Decatur.
Yes, uwdecatur.com. You can find that on our website as well, yes.
So to direct people who are able to volunteer and feel comfortable getting out, we've got a lot of people who are currently, their business is closed. They can't go to work because work isn't open. We would love to have those people, if they're healthy and feel comfortable doing this, to get a hold of the United Way. We are in desperate need of volunteers. We're also our blood supply is very, very low. You can't do a community blood drive right now, but look for opportunities if you can. I don't know specifically what the blood organizations are going to do. I know that some companies that are still open and operating are trying to do small blood drives within their companies because we're already there and we can do it safely.
No doubt about it. Now, finally, financially, as mayor of Decatur, you got a lot of businesses, small, medium, large, everybody tremendously impacted by this. I know they're trying to figure out, or maybe they'll get together and figure out what they're doing in Washington, D.C., which will need to get done sooner rather than later. But also State Treasurer Frerichs has said this morning, $250 million in low-interest bridge loans as soon as this week for small businesses. We got to try to do everything we can. And I know that there's going to be some news coming from Howard and some other stuff. But man, I worry about our employment. I worry about the people. I worry about these local business owners.
Brian, it's heartbreaking. I hear, you know, I've had a lot of small business owners reaching out to me, from daycare owners who have always followed the rules who now can't keep the kids that they've been keeping. You know, where they had 10 before, now they can only have up to 6, and they have to apply for, you know, a new license type thing. But, you know, they're scared, and we understand that, because most small businesses are not, you know, just rolling in a lot of extra money. You know, some are fortunate to have, you know, some reserves, but most, you know, they're getting by, especially, you know, the service industries, where you have to do somebody's hair to get paid. And so, you know, our hairdressers, our nail salons, tattoo parlors, they're out of business right now. And so it's very, very scary to them, our bars and restaurants. You know, it's a scary time, and we're doing everything we can. We are, I mean, I have a conference call today with Senator Durbin and Senator Duckworth, who are reaching out to mayors. I was on a conference call last night until about 8:30 with Mayor Lightfoot in Chicago to see what they're doing and how they're efforting this. I have a call with the governor twice a week. It's, you know, we're trying to work this out. Senator Menard and I are in constant contact. I'm hearing from Representative Calkins as well as Representative Scheer. So we're doing everything we can to, you know, really muscle the resources that are there and direct them to our own small businesses. But, you know, it's not like a tornado where it's Taylorville that's hit and everybody comes in to help. Everybody in the country is facing the same thing.
Keep up the great work, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, and unless anything develops in the meantime. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf, you're doing an incredible job in exhausting times. Please make sure you take care of yourself as well.
I'm on it. Thanks, Brian.
All right, Mayor Julie Moore Wolf.